Because this is where your help comes from. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. This is seed. This is seed. My heart is the soil. I receive the seed into my heart. I'll not be a hearer only, but a doer thereof. Are you going to be a doer? Amen. And because I follow Jesus, I am a fisher of men. You know, just a little pause right here. How many know it's double jubilee? And if you were here on Wednesday night, Pastor Rhonda made up a thing for a jubilee list. Because how are you going to know you're going to get your jubilee unless you know what you're believing for? And so what I wrote down on my jubilee list was this. I believe the prodigal sons, your sons, your daughters, prodigal sons, people have walked away. I believe they're going to be coming home to the Lord. And she said, we have a friend named Patty who is over in Samoa, and she calls it a ridiculous list. In other words, she's believing for ridiculous things that only God can do. And so I also wrote on my, we're calling ours a jubilee list. I wrote on there that people will be born again. And then the thing the Lord promised us was that the fallen grain would be coming home. And so I got other stuff, but I haven't thought about any of them yet. Those are what I'm thinking about. And so you're going to help me. You're going to help me get my jubilee. I said, you are going to help me get my jubilee. And my jubilee is people coming back to the Lord and people getting born again and the prodigals coming home. Amen. And so you're going to help me. And so you're going to say it again. Because I follow Jesus, I am a fisher of men. And I believe our land and our buildings, they're paid for. In Jesus' name, you can have a seat. Glory to God. So we're talking to you. We're ministering to you along the lines of who am I? Remember, it's a question. They used to ask Jesus that. Who are you? And remember, he asked Peter, he said, who do the Son of Men say that I am? And some said, well, you're Elijah. Some say, you know, you're this, you're that. And then Jesus asked Peter, he said, but who do you say I am? And what did Peter answer? He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so I'm talking to you about your purpose. And then John the Baptist, remember, they came to him and they said, who are you? And he said, well, I can tell you who I am by telling you who I'm not. I'm not the Christ. I know who I'm not, but I also know who I am. I'm the one of the voice in the wilderness making a straight way of the Lord. And so this is the truth. You've got to know who you are. And so how do you know who you are? We started from the very beginning. Your purpose is found in meeting your Creator. Because God created you. He knew you in your mother's womb. Before you did anything right or before you did anything wrong, God knew you, and he made you, and he created you for a purpose. So even if someone told you you were an accident, you were not planned, God knows your name. I said, God knows your name, and he has a purpose for you. And from that purpose, then, there's a plan for your life. God prearranged, predestined a good plan for your life. So everybody say, I have a purpose, and I have a plan. And where did that plan came from? It comes from my Creator. Now, I always use this as an illustration because it makes you laugh a little bit. I remember a long time ago, Pastor Rhonda and I, we had this exercise bike that was in our bedroom way back in the day, and I began to use it as a clothes rack. How many of you know that was not the designed purpose? The Creator of that did not create it for a clothes rack. Are you with me? But I used it as a clothes rack, and it worked. But if I ever wanted to use it for its design purpose, I had trouble because I was using it for something else. And in the same way with you and me, there's a designed purpose for your life. And if you're not doing it, you're filling yourself up with other purposes and other plans. But it is only the plans and the purposes of God for your life that will bring contentment and joy. And everybody in this room, if you're born again, you're going to stand before the Lord one day, and he's going to ask you this question. Did you do what I asked you to do on the earth? And that's at the judgment seat of Christ. And how many of you know we're all going to be able to say, yes, Lord? I lost half of you. How many of you know everybody in this room, we're all going to be able to say, yes, Lord. Yeah? Okay. And then he's going to say what? Well done. Good and faithful servant. And he's going to give us a crown. Then we're going to take that crown and we're going to lay it at his feet. Amen? The only thing you really have to give the Lord, which is really eternal, is your obedience. And if we do that, then we're finding out what our purpose is. And so I told you this along the lines, along these ways, that if you don't know your purpose, if you don't know your plan, if you don't know who you really are, who am I? If you don't really know who you are, that it'll keep you out of the blessings and the promises of God. We look at the children of Israel. God led them out with signs and wonders and miracles. There were none sick or feeble among them. I mean, they were blessed. They came across, you know, the sea went parted on either side. They went across on dry ground. And then the army of the Egyptians were drowned in the very place that God set the children of Israel free for through. And we saw that God did great, mighty, wonderful things. And yet when it came time for them to get the promises of God, what happened? They said, we're just nothing but grasshoppers. So how you see yourself, who am I? Who are you? Well, God made them warriors and conquerors, but they see themselves as what? Grasshoppers. How you see yourself is very important today. And so we want to talk about that. We want to talk about how you see yourself. Because as a grasshopper, they wouldn't go into their promised land. And their grasshopper mentality caused them to think wrong and talk wrong, and then they couldn't receive what God had promised them. So if you see yourself wrong, Joshua and Caleb saw themselves a different way. They said what? They're bread for us. The Bible says they had a spirit of faith. They saw themselves as warriors, but not in themselves. They saw God doing it for them. Because they said they're bread for us. We're well able. Why? Because God said, I've given you this land. But how you see yourself, the mentality you have of yourself, will determine what you think about yourself, what you talk about yourself, and therefore what you do. And because they were grasshoppers, they said something wrong, they believed something wrong, they thought something wrong, and then what happened? They were not able to receive what God had for them. Who are you? How do you identify yourself? Well, last week we began to look at this. You know, I said this to you. I was going to talk to you about Moses and Jeremiah and Gideon. We'll look at them just as way for a review. But here's these three guys that the Lord came to in different ways and told them who they were and what he wanted them to do. In other words, he had a purpose for them. And because he had a purpose for them in their mother's womb, he also had a plan for them. And yet they had to believe that plan. Now, there's a lot of things in life that keep us from the purpose of God and the plan of God. And what happens is when you begin to think of yourself a certain way, you begin to make excuses. And I told you, I don't know where it was, but it was way back when the Lord began to deal with me about doing something. And I was telling him, I'm not sure, have you ever done this before? That you feel like you're supposed to do something. You feel like the Lord is leading you. And then it's really bigger than you. Well, that's one how you know it's God. Because he's rarely going to tell you something to do that you can do in your own strength. And so I began to tell him why I thought it couldn't be done. Have you ever told the Lord why this won't work? Like, you know, who are we talking to? How many of you know God is smarter than you? And if he's asking you to do something, he's going to give you the grace and the ability to do it. And he's not often going to ask you to do something you can just do in your own strength, because then you would take the glory instead of him. But I remember he began to tell me, and so I began to tell him why it couldn't be done. And as I was telling him why it couldn't be done, he said to me this. He said, Mark, do you know what an excuse is? And of course, when the Lord asks you a question like that, you really do not know the answer. And so I just didn't say anything. And then he said to me, an excuse is nothing more than an excuse. Stop it. And see, we can make excuses for people. We can make excuses for ourselves. But the Lord didn't say, oh, I love your excuses. He's like, tell me about 5 or 10 more of why you can't obey me. Tell me 5 or 10 more why you can't walk in love. Tell me 5 or 10. No, he didn't say, he said, you know, I don't, your excuses won't work. Everybody say, no excuses. Come on, say it again, no excuses. I'd have you turn to your neighbors, but some of you really want to do it, so I'm not going to let you. Everybody say, no excuses. No, I felt that. I felt I want to turn. Come on, tell me to turn. Nope, no turning. No, everybody say it again, no excuses. And so what we need to understand is that Moses had excuses. And what is an excuse? It really means there's something, maybe even a fact about you that would keep you from obeying. Because how many know there's a difference between a fact and a truth? Facts, we see, how many know we don't deny facts? But the truth always overrides facts. The truth can change a fact. How many know the fact may be flu's going around. But how many know the truth of the Word of God will come against that? Amen? And just so anybody is listening wants to know, we don't oppose medicine around here. We just oppose the flu. Amen? And so we use the Word of God to oppose it. The fact is the flu is here, but the truth is the Word of God is greater than the flu. Amen? A fact is the Lord may have you put a business idea in your heart. And the fact may be the bank account says, not today. But the truth can override that. Ha, ha, ha. Can override that because why? My God supplies all my needs. So are you relying more on the facts or the truth? And so here we've got Moses with some facts. The fact is I'm not eloquent. The fact is they don't know me. The fact is looking backwards in my life, I really messed up back there, God. Don't you remember? How many of you know who Moses is? He was the deliverer from his mother's womb. God protected and watched over him. Remember what happened? Who do the children of Israel think Moses is? They think he's a murderer who is a self-appointed deliverer. Because remember, he murdered somebody? Y'all remember that? And then he came, the two Israelites, the two Hebrews, he said, brothers, why are you fighting? And then what did they ask him? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? In other words, who are you? Who appointed you to be our moral guide? Who appointed you? And what did Moses do? He ran away from that. Probably the dream was it, the dream, the desire is in him, but he prematurely tried to make it come to pass in his own strength. And now God's saying, well, the dream's still there because I gave it to you. The mission is still there. The call is still there. Now you're going to go do it in my strength, not your own. Because he had all these excuses. I mean, even the Lord worked with him. How many of you know, even when it's an excuse, sometimes the Lord will work with him. Because he said, I'm not eloquent. And the Lord said, okay, fine, he'll talk. Can you see that? Jeremiah, the same thing. He said, Lord, I'm not eloquent. How do you call me to be a prophet? I'm not eloquent. He said, number two is, I'm just a child. They're not going to listen to me. You know, I tell the story because I don't know your stories. All I know is mine. And so you can understand, even though it's a ministry story, God has plans for you. And don't use excuses. I know when the Lord first started calling me into the ministry, after I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I found him funny, like Sarah. Because in high school, at our school, you had either a college track, and in this college track, that you had to do a speech class. You didn't have a choice. Well, I was afraid of my own shadow. And so I remember I made great grades, but when I got up to speak, I remember the first time I ever get up to speak, my teeth chattered, and my right leg moved so hard up and down that, I mean, they all thought it was funny. And the more they thought it was funny, the more it was awful. And here I am, this, good student, but I can't talk in front of anybody. And so I remember making it through all that, but just thinking, wow, I don't ever want to do that. In other words, how many know, as an accountant, all I had to do was look at numbers. I didn't have to deal with people. And numbers don't talk back. And numbers make sense. And numbers make pretty pie charts and bar charts and they tell a story. And I love numbers. I love numbers. And it's accounting. And so every month at the end, it balances. It comes to a completion. And then there's a start over. I loved it. I enjoyed it. And so I got to do that. And then when the Lord called me in the ministry, and I realized that ministry meant I got to stand up in front of people, I found him funny. And yet, I remember when my pastor asked me to preach the very first time, I was hoping that I could, you know, remembering the 15 minutes of fame, you know, in high school, and then, you know, in college, I even had trouble, even though none of them knew me, it was still very difficult for me. I could never see myself doing anything up in front of people. It was, I couldn't do it. And then yet the Lord called me. And I remember when my pastor asked me to speak, my mom and my dad and somebody else, they came to hear me speak the first time. Well, that didn't add any pressure or anything, did it? But I remember getting up and I was just calm, cool, and collected. And the Lord gave me Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me. And I preached for 45 minutes with almost not taking a breath, and I could have kept right on preaching. And I've been going ever since. Amen. Sometimes I forget now because I do it so much. I tell this story. Back in the A-frame, they were redoing some things, and they were going to put a road right literally down the middle of the A-frame. And so I had to go to a city council meeting. And so I had to get up. And I'm just so used to speaking now and doing things that I don't really think about it. I just still give God all the glory. I don't do it in front of you very often, but I still give God all the glory and honor. Even before, no matter where I'm at, I get a little worked up still before I come out because I have to trust God. And yet, I remember we went to the city council, and I got up, and I was supposed to oppose something. I don't remember. I got up, and I realized where I was, and I asked Rhonda, I said, did that make any sense? And I think she said, not really, but they get it. Everything I do is by grace. Everything I do for the Lord is by grace. But let me ask you a question. Is everything you do by grace? Are you doing what you do with the grace of God? Or are you trying to do it on your own? In other words, are you running your business with the grace of God that God has given you? Are you doing what you do? Because see, I even learned this after I got filled with the Holy Ghost, even while I was an accountant. I realized that God knew accounting. Isn't that smart? And I remember this one time, and I've said it now twice, and I trust my former boss is not listening or watching. But I remember me and the other accountant, we had trouble on one of the, we had these statements to do every month. And one of them we couldn't get to figure out. And so we did the unspeakable. We plugged a number until we could figure it out. But we had to get these things done. And I really was kind of the, I didn't speak up. And so it's the other person was like, let's do it. And I'm like, ah. And then, but I couldn't live with it because it's accounting and it has to balance. So I asked the Lord, Lord, what's wrong? Where's that at? And you know what? He showed me. Anything you do, whether it's insurance, whether it's retail, whether it's engineering, whether it's just wherever you work, God can get in the middle of it because he knows everything. Because it's your purpose. If you teach in an elementary school, teach with the grace of God that God's given you. If you are a sanitation engineer, sanitize with the best of them. If you are a waiter or a waitress, do it with, you need grace for that. No matter what you do, do it with the ability that God gives. And understand that you don't have a sacred and a secular life, you have a life. And everything you do, you should do with the purpose of God, with the grace of God, and with the call of God. And so everybody say, no more excuses. Because, see, those excuses, God had an answer for Moses. God had an answer for Jeremiah. He had an answer for Gideon. Remember, Gideon was like, yeah, but I'm the least. I'm the least. My daddy's poor, and we're all poor, and I'm the least of all those people. I can't do anything. And God used him anyway. How many of you know? And so when I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, how do I help us? How do I remind you of what, how do we identify ourselves? And so I come to this, and I'm going to give Keith Moore the credit that he deserves for a few more times, because I've been ministering on this for a while. But I remember back in the 80s when I first heard him say this, it exploded on the inside of me, and I've been teaching it for years. He called it the in you versus the in him realities. Because there's some things that the Bible says, the Lord Jesus says even, about if you know who you are in yourself, and we have to get rid of that so that we can come into in him. And so I want to remind you today, because if you can correctly identify yourself, if you are still identifying yourself in your own strength, in your own wisdom, in your own power, in your own abilities, in your own knowledge, then you're not going to be able to walk in the promises of God. But when you and I begin to identify ourselves in Christ, in those realities of who we are in him, then we're going to be able to receive everything that God has for us, and we're going to be able to walk in all that God has for us. So we're going to learn to identify ourselves correctly. Amen? So I want to remind you, number one, the first in you reality is I know nothing. Everybody say, in myself, I know nothing. See, I already know that, Pastor Mark. Well, let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 8:2. If any man think that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. In other words, so in myself, I don't know anything as I ought to know it. But in him, are you all in him? Are you born again? Then in him, let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 1:5. That in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance, and in what kind of knowledge? All knowledge. So in him, I have all knowledge. In myself, I don't know anything like I ought to know it. The Bible says if I acknowledge him in all my ways, then he'll do what? He'll direct my path. He'll direct my steps. So if I acknowledge, you know what? I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how many degrees you got. God gave you the ability to think. Amen? And so the truth of the matter is, if I acknowledge that my understanding comes from in him, that I have all knowledge. 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Everybody say, I have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? Thank God that we renew our minds, but that's not the same to me. When I see the mind of Christ, it's something that I have. I have the mind of Christ. Where is the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ lives on the inside of me because I'm in him. The mind of Christ, I said, is on the inside of me. Everybody say, I have the mind of Christ. In other words, I have the ability now to think his thoughts. I have the ability to know his ways. And if I learn to yield to that, I have the mind of Christ. I have the ability to know the thoughts of God and get the wisdom of God on any and all matters. But in myself, in my own self, I know nothing. But I'm not in myself anymore. I'm in him. Are y'all in him? Then I have all knowledge. And in him, I have the mind of Christ available to me. Number two, in myself, I'm nothing. In myself, I'm nothing. The word of God says this in Galatians 6:3. For if any man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. So in myself, I'm nothing. Why are we going over this, Pastor Mark? Because how you identify yourself is the most important thing. If you identify yourself with just in your own ability and your own strength, then you've got to understand you are nothing. And the Bible says you deceive yourself. But then 2 Corinthians 3:5. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. So I'm not sufficient in myself to think anything of myself. I am aware, and maybe I have an advantage over you all. Because all this I look around and see, and you being here today, and all that God has done, not only in this nation and the nations of the world, and all that we have, I know 100% of the time this has nothing to do with me. I know that. I may not tell you that all the time, but Pastor Rhonda and I are very aware that this is all God. And maybe we have an advantage because of what we do. But listen to me. Everything you do in your life that's worth anything is all God. If you're able to go to work tomorrow morning and think a coherent thought and tell somebody what to do, that's God. Amen. That's God. And so don't just relate it to churchy things. The Bible is not for churchy things. It's for your life. It's for your life. And so when you go to work tomorrow morning, you thank God that you have the mind of Christ. You thank God that you know all things because you're in Him. And you thank God that, He said here, it says, not that our sufficiency of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is God. So when you go down and sit at your desk tomorrow, or you take your place in a line, or whatever you do, when you show somebody your badge, you lift your hand. I mean, if you don't want to do it in front, but at least on the inside, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You've given me the grace and the ability to do this, not in myself. Because in myself, I'm nothing. Amen. But my sufficiency is of you. And with a great speaker, he once said, I am somebody. I am somebody. Everybody say, I am somebody. Where did you get to be somebody? Who made you somebody? God made you somebody. Let's look at these scriptures. Said again, I am somebody. Who did God make you? Because in yourself, you are nobody, but you're not in yourself anymore. And so if you go around thinking and allow the devil and other people tell you you're nobody, then you're getting back into yourself. And you got to pull yourself as well. That is true that in myself I'm nobody, but I'm not in myself anymore. I'm in him. I'm in him. So it's good to identify of in yourself, you don't know anything and you can't be anything, but you're not in that. You're not there anymore. You're born again. You're a new creature. Say it again. I am somebody. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is who you are. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you in Christ? He's a new creature. Everybody say, I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new. You're a new somebody. You're somebody who didn't exist before because you're in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, just on down. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Who are you? I'm righteous. Start identifying yourself correctly. I am righteous. Not trying to be righteous, not hoping to be righteous. I am righteous. See, in yourself, you were a sinner saved by grace. And that's who you were, but now you're somebody new. In him, you are the right. You're as righteous as you're ever going to be. You're as much right standing with God as you're ever going to get in. Now, it's up to you to walk in your righteousness and have revelation of your righteousness. But say it with me. Say, I am the righteousness of God in him. In him. Romans 5:17 says, by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. So are you righteous? So what you going to do with that righteousness? You're going to reign. You're going to reign in life by one Jesus Christ. In him, through him, by him, for him. In whom, by whom. All those things are what you and I need to look for to tell us to get our identity. If you look around, your identity will tell you you're a grasshopper. If you will hear from God, he'll tell you you're a warrior. If you hear it from the world, they'll tell you what you've done wrong. If you hear it from God, he'll tell you who you are in Christ. And he's telling you you are righteous. And because you are righteous, you are somebody. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ, which causes you to rule and reign in this life like a king. Amen. Seated far above it. Amen. That's who you are. You are somebody in God. You are somebody in God. Number three, in myself, I can't really have anything. John 3:27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Nothing. I love hard work. I love people who will pull themselves up by the bootstraps, so to speak. That's awesome. But really, if that's all you got with eternal things, it comes to nothing. I mean, God's hard work is great, but there is no amount of hard work that can make you something, that can give you something. A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, no shadow turn. Every good and perfect thing you have came from someone. Came from someone. You didn't do it. You didn't get it. You didn't make it happen. He made it happen. And that's when somebody wants to try to take it away. That's why they fight against God, not against you. Everybody say, God is good. God is good. And so when the enemy comes against you, he's trying to, if he tries to bring something to you, he's trying to take away your health. He tries to bring sickness to a healthy person because God gave that to you. God gave that to you. God gave you that job. And the enemy's always trying to take it away. And listen to me, even if the devil ever managed to take something away from you, God will give you something better. Because he's God. And he's on your side. And if you know who you are, see, it's about identifying yourself correctly. And when you know who you are, it just calms you down. It just causes you to chill out a little bit. Because you know you're not the one doing it, it's him. Amen. So in yourself, you have nothing. Let's look at this one. 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who make thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why do you glory as if you didn't receive it? So how many know that everything we have came from the Lord? Everything good, everything that's worth talking about came in from the Lord. So we ought not glory in the fact that I did this. And it's easier for me, but make sure you do that too, that you're, anything you have that you're grateful for because it came from the Lord. Even when you're having trouble with something or someone, be sure to be grateful. Be sure to understand that it came from God and that God wants you. I mean, he doesn't bring cancer and he doesn't bring trouble. But the Bible says in everything give thanks and for everything give thanks. So even when trouble comes, if you really believe this about yourself, only God gives good things, then you'll be able to lift one hand to heaven and begin to thank him because you know that the good stuff is on the way. Let's look at this. In him, I have everything I need. 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for he searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So God is in the business of revealing, because in yourself you don't have anything. But here he said he's going to reveal all things. He's going to reveal. So in other words, when you need something from God, you don't have anything on your own. But the truth is, you don't really have anything on your own, but God can reveal it to you by his Spirit. Let's look at another one. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God, y'all like this one, don't you? For all the promises of God in him are what? And amen. In him. Are you in him? So see, in yourself, you don't have anything, but in him, you've got what? All the promises. So is anything excluded from that? Come on, say, I have all the promises in him, and they're yes and amen to me. You're not missing anything, are you? Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spirit. What? Who has blessed us with what? How many? Well, Pastor, they're just spiritual blessings. Listen to me. It all starts out in the spirit. And then it'll work in the action. But if you've got all spiritual blessings, are you taken care of? All's good, right? If you've got all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, because you're in Christ, how many know it's all good? So in yourself, you don't have anything, but in him, everything has been revealed to you. In him, all the promises of God are yes and amen. In him, he's blessed you with all spiritual blessings. So in yourself, you can't have anything, but in him, you have all things. You got all spiritual things, you got all the promises of God, and you got everything revealed to you. Is anything missing there? Is anything missing there? Number four, in myself, I can't do anything. In myself, I can't do anything. John 15:5. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I'm in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do what? For without Jesus, we can't do anything that's worth anything. Without Jesus, we can't do anything that's worth anything. But how many of you have left that old self alone and now you're in him? And so in him, I like these. Let's have some church. Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things, I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved us. Through him, I'm more than a conqueror. In myself, I can't do it. But I'm not in myself anymore. I'm in him, and I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. In him, I'm more than a conqueror. I can't do it on myself. If I try to fight a battle on my own, I'm not going to win. But I'm not going to do it in myself and in my own strength. I'm going to do it in his strength. Amen. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Where? In Christ. Are you in Christ? Then you're always winning. You're always winning. You're always winning. I said you're always winning because you're in Christ. Do you have that revelation? Are you walking in that revelation? See, in myself, I can't do anything. I can't do it on my own, but I'm not in myself anymore. Not trying to do it. I'm more than a conqueror in him. I can do all things through. He always causes me to triumph. And then number three, 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, I always win. Isn't that what he's talking about? Philippians 4:13. It says this, I can do what? Through Christ who strengthens me. See, in myself, I can't do it, but I'm not in myself anymore. So my strength comes from God. That strength causes me to be more than a conqueror. That strength causes me always to win. That strength causes me always to win. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. Why? Because I'm in him. I'm in him. I'm more than a conqueror because I'm in him. What makes me more than a conqueror? I didn't do the conquering. I just get the rewards of serving the one. And he lives in me. The conqueror lives in me. I just get the benefits of being more than a conqueror. Amen. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. Why? Because I'm in him. Because I deserve it? Because I'm strong in myself? No, I'm not strong in myself. I'm strong in him. I'm strong. Anytime I begin to feel weak or like I can't do it or it's too much, then I'm trying to do it in my own strength and my own power. I got to get back in my position of in him. Are you in him? If you're in him, you're strong. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. He made me more than a conqueror in and through him and by him. He always gives me victory. Amen. Listen, if you're looking around and it doesn't look like you're winning, all it means is it's not over. All it means is it's not over because it's not over until you win. We're not giving up till we win. Why? Because Jesus won. He sat down at the right hand of God and now I'm in him and you're in him. Come on. Anything that's trying to harass you individually, don't try to do it in your own strength. You're not smart enough to figure it out. But he is. You don't have the stamina to do this on your own. But I'm strengthened with all might. I don't know enough to get out of this. But he knows everything because he's already been to my end. And he knows what's going on. Listen. The devil will yap at you and yap at you and yap at you. And he'll tell you what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. And yet, I've always figured this out. When the devil's got a plan, the Lord's got a better plan. And the devil don't know everything. Because I love that scripture. And I want to do a little rubbing right now to remind you. Because some of you got some things going on in your life. Maybe the devil's trying to tell you what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. But the Bible says if the devil would have known, if Satan would have known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. He thinks he's smart. But while he had a plan, God had another plan. And the reason you and I are sitting in this room today full of victory is because we hooked into that plan. I believed in Jesus. He came and lived in me. And now I'm in him. And his victory has become my victory. His strength has become my strength. His knowledge is becoming my knowledge. His ability is my ability. And I one time tried to figure this out all on my own and failed. But I'm not trying to figure it out on my own anymore. I'm in him. Are you in him? And so what does that mean for you? That means you're strengthened. That means you're conquering. That means you're winning. And you know, it'll help you. See, when you're fortified with the fact of your identity and the revelation of who you are in Him, it will help you to win the battles of life. Because if you identify yourself incorrectly, if you identify yourself with how you feel about you, your inferiority, what you feel like you can't do, when you identify with that, then the devil's won because he's got you in his arena, the arena of sight, the arena of feelings. But if you'll jump on over into who you are in Christ and you'll stay there, then you're going to win every time because you're in Christ. He's in you, but you're in Him. And He's made you somebody. He's made you somebody. And that's your identity. And from that place of identity, then you receive all the promises of God. Because that's what happened to Joshua and Caleb in an old covenant. If they can do that in an old covenant, you and I can do it in a new and better covenant. God didn't live in them. He lives in you. He lives in you. And He's changed you. And He's changed your nature. Your nature used to be that of a sinner who lived in the in-yous, in those in-you realities, but now your nature has been changed. And you are in the likeness and the image of God your Father, and you're created in Him. And if you walk in Him I live and move and have my being. And if I'll do that, then I'll walk in the victory that is provided for me.